Well, it's great to have all of you with us today. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're kicking off this new series titled Courageous Endurance. And for all of you connecting online across all of our locations, I just want you to know if maybe this is your first time with us at Tri-County Church, or maybe you're just kind of newer in the journey with us. No, we do these things. We call them series. Courageous Endurance is a series. And a series is simply this. We ask a question, we look at a subject matter, and we just try to gain as much perspective around it as we can. We try to answer the question the best way we can. And if that takes 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, we'll just spend as much time as we think just so that we can be, well, so we can help all of us on our spiritual journey. And every series we do, I think every part of the series is important. But if you miss a part, if you come into a series partway through, it's not like you're going to be lost. But I always want to encourage people, like, go back. If you miss a part or you come in partway through, like, catch up, because I think it's so important. But especially for series like Courageous Endurance. I'm just telling you, every part of the series is going to be so intrinsically tied together. At the end of today, I'm probably going to leave a little bit more tension than maybe you would like. At the end of today, I'm going to leave a question dangling out there that maybe you want resolved, you want answered. Maybe today it's going to feel like it's just not quite complete. And that's why the journey through the entire series is just so important. So if you miss a week or a kid gets sick or you're traveling, just know you can always go to tcconline.church. There you can watch all of our messages on demand, so you can catch up there. TCConline.church is where you can also connect to our online church that we have services on Sunday and Monday evening. And so I just want to encourage you, if you miss a part of this series, please, please, please make sure you connect with that. Well, there's headlines in all of our worlds. I don't know how you read the news. Maybe you still read from a newspaper. Maybe you have your favorite news channel that you turn on daily. Maybe you're like me. I have a series of apps on my smartphone, and that's how I consume just news content. A wide ranging set of news apps, by the way. And so I just make my way throughout the course of the week, just hitting headlines, but also then kind of dialing in to some of the news I really want to know more about. And this week, as I was just flipping through all of my news apps, it was just, it's a pretty dark world that we live in, isn't it? I mean, what's going on in Iran and Iraq? And I know some of you have loved ones overseas right now, and those headlines are pretty, pretty weighty. I found myself all week just reading everything I could about the coronavirus, just thinking, well, what's going on in this world? And I don't know if you're skeptical like I am. I'm assuming most of you are. And whenever I read a news story, I always think to myself, like, what aren't they saying? What's really happening? What are they hiding? And I felt myself all week as I clicked through all of these headlines just about this virus and like, how dangerous is it really? Last Sunday, I went home from church, and by the time I got home and got something to eat, it was later in the afternoon. I sat on the couch, and it was a great weekend, but I was exhausted. I knew I just had a couple hours before our night of worship, and I opened up my phone, and like I mentioned, I have a series of news apps, and one of them that I opened, and don't judge me if you know this news organization. I'm not even sure if we should title it a news organization, but it's on my rotation, a site called TMZ. And I opened up TMZ, and they had just posted within minutes that Kobe Bryant had been killed in a helicopter crash. At that point, they didn't know how many people had died. At that point, they didn't know anything about his daughter. All they knew is they had confirmed that he was on that helicopter. And I've never been a Lakers fan. I've never been a huge Kobe Bryant fan. But I felt myself just sitting on the couch reading that headline, just overwhelmed. I mean, the emotion, my stomach churned. I actually took a screen capture of it, and I sent it to a friend of mine. And I'm like, have you heard? And, you know, he hadn't heard yet. And I just felt like, I mean, it just felt so heavy. As I flipped through headlines this week, There's a mom in Arizona, a mother, that killed her 3-year-old, her 2-year-old, and her 7-month-year-old. How do you process that? I still don't know. I found myself reading several articles about it. Why? I don't know. But as a dad, it's like, how do you get to the point as a parent to kill your own kids? There's a dad in Orlando that killed his wife, his 3 kids, and his dog. How do you get there? But beyond that, I mean, how do you even process that? I mean, you think about the headlines. I don't know what headlines you read or you listened to or you watched this week, right? We just know the condition of our world, don't we? Super Bowl weekend, and whether or not you care about the 2 teams playing or not, whether you care about football or not, it's something that unites everyone around the world, or the commercials, right? Like the commercials. Some years are better than others, but like I just find myself every year just anticipating. I'm like, I hope they're funny this year. And there's one company that released a video, and it feels like this year more companies are releasing their Super Bowl commercials a little earlier. But one company, and it's a company you all know of, they make a product that most people probably really enjoy. They released this, well, it's this sarcastic, satirical video commercial of all of these people singing a pretty corny song. The title of the video ad is Fix the World. And the chorus, well, this is how the chorus goes. The world is out of sorts. We need to fix it quicker. We're going to fix the world by feeding it Snickers. And literally the ending scene is this massive hole in the earth. Hundreds, thousands of people that had been singing this corny song are surrounding this massive hole. There's a helicopter carrying a massive Snickers, flies over the hole. It drops the Snickers into the hole. And then the last scene are these two beautiful, like perfectly manicured young 20-somethings standing on the edge of this massive hole. They're taking a selfie of themselves, and then they fall into the hole. Hilarious. But you think about this song. I mean, Snickers. Again, in a satirical and sarcastic, humorous way, they're reflecting, I think, what we all feel. It's like, man, this world needs to be fixed, doesn't it? But it's not only just the headlines in our world. What about your headlines? If you had a news app that just gave the headlines for your life right now, what would your headlines read? Would your headlines read something like, wife came home, is finished? Would your headlines read, husband on work trip, and I discovered? Would your headlines read, child called me from college, I don't know how to process the conversation? The headline read, boss, narcissist, I don't think it could get worse. Would your headline read, cancer is back? What are your headlines? If you had an app, what would they read? And you see, it's in seasons like this, as we look externally at the condition of our world. You can't watch, you can't read the news without being overwhelmed by the condition of our world. And I just know for so many of you, I mean, your headlines are difficult. Your headlines are weighty. Your headlines are consuming. And it's in seasons like this where it's just, well, we just ask God, God, if you're so good, then why? And God, if you're so merciful, then why? And God, if you're so loving, then why? And God, you go by the name Father, why? And you ask the question, what do you do when God just doesn't seem fair? I mean, have you thought about that for your headlines? God, it's just not fair. God, I go to. God, I pray. God, I give. God, I worship. God, I follow. God, I've done all of this for you. I mean, that person doesn't, but I'm all in for you. And God, it's just, this is not fair. God, I thought I got through that season and my next season would be good, but now, God, I'm back into another difficult season. God, it's just not fair. So spiritually, how do you navigate through your journey when the why gods and God, it's not fairs are circling around you? There's a guy in the Old Testament, in the ancient Jewish scripture. His name is Habakkuk or Habakkuk. You could pronounce his name either way, and you'll probably hear me over the course of this series pronouncing his name both ways. But Habakkuk, well, he found himself in a season of life where the headlines were just overwhelming. And so we're just going to follow his story throughout this series. And what's interesting is, well, we call Habakkuk a book of the Bible, but it's not a book. It's actually an honest conversation between Habakkuk and God. We get this sneak peek picture into a moment of his life. We know very little about him before and after, but what we do know is he's engaged with God in a pretty heated, direct conversation. And there's so much we can learn from him. You see, Habakkuk is living in this period of time where, the kings are evil. See, the storyline of Israel was that they wanted a king. God said, you don't want a king. They kept on saying they wanted a king. God finally gave them a king, Saul. That didn't turn out real well. They got David as a king. David was a pretty good king, not a perfect king, but his heart was positioned towards God. David handed the reins over to Solomon, his son. Again, loved God. Solomon loved God, but he made a whole bunch of bad decisions. But after Solomon, it just all went downhill. The 12 tribes divided. 10 tribes went north. They're called Israel. 2 tribes went south. They're called Judah. Out of all the kings that led the northern tribes, all of them were evil. All of them did evil in the eyes of God. And finally, God sent in the Assyrians, and the Assyrians just completely wiped them out. Gone. And now only remaining was the 2 tribes, the southern kingdom, Judah. Well, Judah's last good king is a boy king. His name's Josiah, a king whose dad, Amon, was an evil king, and whose granddad, Manasseh, was one of the most evil of all the kings. But Josiah, when someone gave him God's book of the law, Josiah realized that they were all running away from God. They had all turned their backs on God, and Josiah brought Judah, the 2 tribes, back to God. Josiah was a good king. And while Habakkuk was alive, he experienced Josiah's leadership and Israel all coming back, or Judah coming all back to God. But Habakkuk also experienced Josiah being killed by Egyptian archers. And the next few kings were all evil. And this is when Habakkuk starts to have a conversation with God. When Habakkuk, one of the few people in all of Judah that actually wanted a thriving relationship with the one true God. And Habakkuk starts this conversation with God. He goes, how long, Lord? How long? How long? Have you had a how long conversation with God? I mean, we don't know how long Habakkuk's been having this conversation with God, but it's a quite long time span of Habakkuk engaging with God, engaging with God, engaging with God. And he goes, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Have you been in a season like that where you've called to God and it feels like he's not listening, where you've called to God and He doesn't really respond. You call to God, it feels like he doesn't care. You call to God, and it's just like, God, are you even present in my life? Have you been in a season where you're trying to have a dialogue with God, and it just feels like he's so unconnected? This is where Habakkuk was. He's like, hey, God, how long? How long? I'm talking to you. Are you listening? How long? I'm talking to you, but do you care? How long? I'm talking to you, but are you even present in my life? You say you're loving. You say you're good. You say you're merciful. You want me to call you Father, but it doesn't feel like it. How long must I cry out violence? This word violence is literally translated complete moral depravity. What Habakkuk is saying is, hey, God, all of Judah has now turned their back on you. The moral depravity, the headlines. I'm living in a dark world. Hey, God, how long must I cry out to you? But you don't save? I mean, implied in this question is Habakkuk's expectation for God. God, I expect you to save me and the few others of us that actually are following you, the few of us that are actually, our hearts are positioned towards you. I mean, the rest of Judah don't care about you, but hey, God, see this moral depravity? Why don't you save? Our expectation, God, is that you will save. Do you have expectations for God that he's not meeting? Have you had expectations for God that he's just not meeting? And back it's like, hey, God, keep coming to you. Are you listening? I'm screaming out to you. Are you even there? And you can tell that Habakkuk's almost just at his final wit's end. Like he's like, how much longer can I just keep saying the same thing to you over and over again? And he says to God, hey, God, why do you make me look at injustice while you tolerate wrongdoing? I mean, think about that tension. Some of you were raised in a religious a church context where you could only say positive things to God. You could always only use like big churchy words with God that like you had to be really careful. Like if I say the wrong thing to God, he might strike me with lightning. Some of you are raised that way. And I come to moments like this. I mean, just think about the gravity what Habakkuk is saying is God to God. Hey, God, you make me look at this injustice and you're sitting up there tolerating it. God, you make me live in all of this moral depravity and what are you doing up there? God, you've put me in this place and where are you on vacation? Hey, God, this doesn't seem fair. And look at all of these descriptive words Habakkuk uses, injustice, wrongdoing, destruction, violence, strife, conflict. I mean, these are the headlines. And this is just not like this vanilla label of Judah. I mean, this would have been people that Habakkuk is living with. People that he would see in the market. People that were friends of his, of family members. I mean, he's surrounded by people. I mean, the moral depravity that he was asking God to save him from was everywhere. And so Habakkuk draws his own conclusion and he goes, therefore the law is paralyzed. God, your law that you gave is paralyzed. It's useless. It's worthless. It's doing nothing. God, you gave us this law. What good is it? And justice never prevails. I mean, you can feel Habakkuk's just angry. God, I'm doing the right thing, the right thing, the right thing. Why does it matter? And the wicked men, him and the righteous. God, you're allowing the wicked men just to do whatever they want. You're allowing the wicked to say whatever they want. You're allowing the wicked, I mean, they have free reign, God. The wicked do. As you tolerate them so that justice is perverted. And then one day, God finally responds. And God says to Habakkuk, look at the nations and watch. and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I mean, can you feel Habakkuk? I mean, he's right on the edge of his seat. He's on his tippy toes. He's leaning in. He's like, okay, God finally is responding. Remember, Habakkuk starts off by saying, how long? He's been waiting a long time. Now God finally responds. And can you sense Habakkuk going, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I mean, a just God, right? He can't tolerate all of this injustice. And Habakkuk had to be thinking to himself, like, hey, I've been following you, God. I've been saying the right things, God. I've been doing the right things, God. Hey, God, I'm not perfect, but hey, I'm a lot better than everyone else around me. And then God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. Remember, Habakkuk, who had been raised hearing the stories of the fierce and evil Assyrians that swept in and, I mean, literally wiped out the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, Israel. They're gone. Habakkuk would have been raised hearing the stories how there was 12 mighty tribes, Israel, that King David led. And then evil king after evil king separated the kingdom. Evil king after evil king led to the point where the Syrians came in. Habakkuk would have been raised. And what Habakkuk knew, or how evil the Babylonians were. And God, it's almost like God wanted to make sure Habakkuk knew exactly what he was going to do. It's like God was like, hey, Habakkuk, I'm going to send the Babylonians. I just want you to know, I fully realize who the Babylonians are. And Habakkuk, if you're even questioning about them, I'm gonna make you fully aware. And God says, hey, these Babylonians are ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across a whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities by building earthen ramps. They capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. Whew. I'm pretty sure that is not the response Habakkuk was expecting from God. You see, sometimes you think it can't get worse. And God says, it can, and it will. And this isn't those warm, fuzzy moments with God, but they're real moments. And God's saying to Habakkuk, hey, Habakkuk, I just want you to know, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You want it to get better, but it's not. And maybe this is a season you're in, where you want it to get better, but maybe, just maybe, it's not going to. You see, every one of us is on a spiritual journey, and every one of our spiritual journeys looks like this. I mean, I don't know where you are, but you're somewhere along this line. And it looks something like this. You start on your spiritual journey, and you're asking questions. You're trying to figure out who God is. You're trying to figure out who Jesus is. Maybe you have a good friend that's been inviting you to come to church, and maybe you said no a whole bunch of times, and maybe you finally said yes. Maybe you're connecting online right now, and you're just kind of sitting in the safety of your home because you're just not sure. Maybe for you, you have a grandma or a grandfather that's just told you a whole bunch about Jesus. But there's a moment, because here's what you need to know about Tri-County Church. At the foundation of who we are, we want to tell all people about Jesus. And when you name Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, that is the moment. It's a moment that everything starts to change. For some of you, you can remember the exact day and time. You know the date, you know the hour, you know where you were sitting, where you were standing, what event, what church, what service. I mean, you just know that moment. For some of you, you're not sure because this hope, it happened over a span of time. For some of you, you're driving in your car and you're just wrestling with God and somebody told you about Jesus and you just started having some conversation and you weren't even sure if you were using the right words, but you know in that moment that you're like, okay, God, I'm all in. Jesus, you and me. For some of you, it was a friend sitting next to you as you were asking questions and they were helping answer and helping God. I got a text from a friend this week and for 15 years, she's been walking with a friend, 15 years. And on the phone, after a two-hour conversation on a Friday night, his friend finally named Jesus as Lord and Savior. But here's what happens. There's a moment in your spiritual journey when you name Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's like all the stars align and life is good. Everything that good happens, you attach to God. I mean, you wake up in the morning, the sun's up, and you're like, oh, God's good. The sun's actually out. And it's Pennsylvania. It never comes out, right? You drive to the grocery store, and you find the front parking space. It's just like God just separates the cars. Like, here you go. And you're like, oh, God's good. Look at the prime parking space. Your kid starts eating steamed broccoli, yuck, and likes it, right? You get a raise. God is good. You go on a date with your spouse, and it's like just a great moment. You're like, God's good. Everything in this moment, like God is good. And then life happens. A headline is written. Something crashes into your world. And you face the question, how do you respond? When what you see with your eyes doesn't align with what you know in your heart? How do you respond when you see your own headline and you try to align it with a good God? You try to align it with a loving God. You try to align it with a merciful God. You try to align it with God as Father. How do you make sense of that? How do you make sense of that? For some of you, this is when you ran away from God. For some of you, this is why you're just finally trying to wander back to God because you've gone through a season where you're like, these things just don't align. And when we encounter those moments, we go into a spiritual valley. This is where Habakkuk was. What he knew about God and what he was seeing didn't align. It's why he looked at God and said, God, why are you tolerating this? God, why aren't you saving? Why aren't you doing something about it? God, I know who you are, but God, you're allowing all of this to happen. And Habakkuk found himself right in this valley. And there's three important actions that we got to learn from Habakkuk's story, his life. The first one is this. There's something about the waiting. It's why he started going, how long, God, how long? I wonder how many times he prayed that prayer. God, how long? How long? How there's something about the waiting, and maybe, just maybe, you're in the waiting. And what's difficult about the waiting, it can feel like God's not present. And the waiting can feel like God isn't there. And the waiting can feel like God's not listening. But there's something about the waiting where we have to realize that God is still working. There's something about the waiting. If we just embrace it, that God wants to do something in us and through us, there's something about the waiting. And sometimes we don't understand the waiting, but the waiting will go to the wondering. And I think the wondering is such an important part of navigating spiritual valleys. The wondering is all the why questions. God, why are you allowing? God, why did you do? God, why am I going through? God, why aren't you working like I thought you would work? God, my expectations for you looked like this, but you're shifting my expectations. God, I don't understand why. You see, the wondering is such an important part, and it's in the waiting that we're wondering. And for so many of you, you thought like you couldn't wonder to God. For so many of you, you just think that in the valley, you should just go, okay, I guess I'm going to have to take it. And Habakkuk shows us, no, you don't have to take it. You need to go toe to toe with God. That God wants to hear the pain of your heart. You see, the uninhibited conversations to God, I mean, it was one way between Habakkuk and God, one way for how long? We don't know how long, but it's one way. God, I'm talking to you. Are you listening? God, I'm talking to you. Hear my cries. Where are you, God? I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over again. God, it's getting really bad down here. Where are you? Why are you tolerating it? You have me down here, but you're up there. God, come on, God, I need something from you. Habakkuk's uninhibited conversations to God unleashed a thriving relationship with God. You see, the waiting connects to the wondering. And I just want you to know, it's an important part of all of our spiritual journeys. For some of you, you feel guilty to have that type of conversation with God. And I want you to know, it is essential. Here at the end of this month, ladies, we're having a two-day event called Resonance. And the person coming to do this, the speaking, her name is Michelle Cushat. And Michelle's going to be sharing part of her story for Resonance, and then she's going to be with us all week, and she's going to actually conclude this series, All Our Courageous Endurance. And what I love about Michelle's story, it just reflects Habakkuk's story, it reflects your story, it reflects my story. Details are so different. But how to wander through the darkness of spiritual valleys with God. And here's just a quick snapshot of her story. Take a look.
How do you hold on to faith when faith itself seems lost? In a world filled with suffering, where pain runs rampant and injustice spreads like fire, is it even possible to still believe in God? These were some of the questions I asked when the light of my life nearly went out. Buried by pain and suffering, I feared the God I'd always believed in either wasn't real or, worse, had left me. And yet, even as my faith fell apart, God was rebuilding a new faith, a stronger and more resilient faith. In the process, I learned a secret. God's presence is where the pain is. He is with those who question and those who cry. He's with the broken and beat up, the rejected and unloved. He doesn't wait for us to get cleaned up to draw close. He's with us right here, right now. Not because we deserve it, but because his love can't help it. Are you aching for a love that will never leave? A presence that will push back the dark? If so, I have good news for you. God's love is relentless, even when your faith isn't. And the circumstances you fear might drown your faith could become the stones giving testimony to it. Join me, and let's find evidence of him together.
You see, I love what Michelle says, that God's presence is in the pain. And ladies, I just can't encourage you enough, not just for you to be part of Resonance, but there's someone that God's going to put on your heart that you need to invite with you no matter where they find themselves on their spiritual journey. And that's what we're praying for, is that God just uses you as a vessel to help someone take steps in their relationship with God. You see, something that Michelle knows, something that I know, something that Habakkuk knows, there's a third action. Because we can't stay just in the waiting and the wondering. But there's a third action. And this third action is pivotal. Because if you embrace this third action, it's going to help you climb out of the valley and take steps with God as he journeys with you. But if you just stay in the waiting and the wondering, if you never engage this third action, I'm just telling you, it's going to lead you on a much different path. And so in part two, we're going to stare at this, well, this third action. And this third action really gets into the answer of this question. How do you respond when what you see with your eyes doesn't align with what you know in your heart? It's that third action. When you see your headline and it goes against what you know about a good God, what you know about a loving God, what you know about a merciful God, and what you know about a God who wants you to call him Father. But no, the waiting, the wondering, the crying out is essential, especially when you're in the valley. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that for those that are find themselves in the spiritual valley, where their headlines are overwhelming, the hurt, the pain, the darkness, the unknown, for those who have been screaming to you and it feels like you're not present, it feels like you're not listening, Lord, I just pray for those, we'll just know that you are present. And just maybe it is about the waiting and the wondering. Maybe it's just about engaging all the pain that comes in the valley, but that your presence is in the pain. Lord, I pray. I pray for those who have ran away from you because of the valley, that, Lord, they'll just take a step back towards you. That maybe, just maybe, they're here for this series because of that. Lord, I pray that we all know that you are a good Father, that you are a loving Father, that you are a merciful Father. And you desire for us to have uninhibited conversations to you and with you. In the name I pray, amen.